I've asked permission from the elders if I could. The last message that I spoke on was on joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's been a life changer for me. The fruit of the Spirit. I want to be a Christian who doesn't just live in the soul. I want to live in the Spirit. And as I would live in the Spirit, I've got to also walk in this world. Well, the Scripture says that we ought to walk in the Spirit. So these legs have got to walk in a way that the Holy Spirit is guiding them and directing them. They go where the Holy Spirit wants them to go. Okay? Each one of us are like that. We can pull this Christian life off in the soul. That's not what God wants. We're spiritual beings. He wants us to live in the Spirit. And so, as our hearts and our lives, our spirits have been transformed by the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden we have a new master. We have an individual who has control over our lives if we're willing to let him have control over our lives. And so, we're told to walk in the Spirit. How's that done? You know, you want a 10-point chapter. You know, this is how it's done. Move this way, move that way, shift, you know, lift your knee high, leg, arm, all this kind of stuff. We look for that. We want a message that will lay it out for us, and therefore we can be these, you know, robots and do it. But unfortunately, the Holy Spirit guides and leads us all a little bit different. The fruit of the Spirit flows from our lives. When I say a little bit different, is wherever I have to walk, you don't walk that way. You don't go up to Brooklyn and work in the factory up there, okay? These legs, by the Spirit of God, is taking me up there, and I got to drive, all that kind of stuff, you know? Walk in the door, got to love different people that you won't ever see. So there's the differences, but yet the fruit of the Spirit that comes from our lives has got to be the same. Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I've asked permission from the elders to have the freedom to be able to speak. Every time that I would speak, then I would be speaking on the next of the fruit of the Spirit. And they've given me freedom to do that. They may give me some other assignment, which is fine. But if I get the freedom, I'm going to go on to the next one. Why? Because I need it. You say, well, why do I have to have it then? Truthfully, we all need it. We really do. And so as I get to grow, hopefully you get to grow with me. And this one, this message is on the peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Are you a peaceable person? Does peace rule and reign in your life? Is peace an evidence of Christ living in you and flowing from you? I can be a contentious person. I can be a contrary person. Michigan. How many just got their peace disturbed by me saying Michigan? Okay. Now, are you willing to enter into the fruit of the Spirit of love in that? Now, those are practical things, but those are also real things. They are. Those things ought not to dictate who we are and how we live and where we live. The whole concept of peace. The simple definition of peace is freedom from disturbance or distraction. Peace can be an absence of peace, could be war or violence or turmoil or chaos, opposites of it. But having that freedom, synonyms can be, there's a calmness. There's a quietness. There's rest. There's tranquility. There's oneness. There's a lack of busyness taking place. Can you have peace amidst of some of the turmoil in our lives that goes on? I believe we can. I believe Jesus wants that to be just saturated in our spirits and our souls and our bodies so that regardless of what's going on around us and on the outside, that there's an inner peace that's taking place because of who Christ is and what He's done on the inside of our lives. Christmas is coming, and one of the things that is attributed to Jesus, our Savior, in Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus is with His disciples as He's getting ready to leave there before, just after the upper room experience. He's given some of His last words to His disciples. He says, "The Comforter, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Father will send in My name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world wants to give you some type of a pseudo type of peace. Not real peace. Real peace comes from one person. We think we have peace, and we don't. Let's set that down there. Scripture's saturated with peace. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, I think there's like 460-some times the word peace is put in the Scriptures. Peace is a greeting. Paul opens up many of his epistles with peace, grace and peace be multiplied. It's something that should be very evident in our lives and should be evident to other people around us, regardless of what we find ourselves in. Turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. A story that's very familiar with you. "On that day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, let's go across to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took with Him in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking in the boat so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They awoke Him and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? They were filled with great fear and said one to another, Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Here's a scene, the scene. We're talking about some fishermen, some skilled men who have probably fished on this sea quite a few times. They know how to maneuver a boat in some troubled waters. They're very gifted. And yet they come, a storm comes up, and whether or not they were looking for Jesus to actually storm the wind, or they were looking for one more hand to help guide the boat in a certain direction so it doesn't capsize. The scriptures doesn't communicate that there. But they're surprised at Jesus' response, that he would rebuke the wind and all of a sudden there's peace, be still. Those are the words he says. The words that he will say to us often if we're willing to listen. Peace, be still. They found themselves in the cares of the world in this boat. They should have recognized, and we need to recognize, because in times of our lives, and when Jesus asks us to do something, which they did in obedience to the Lord, let's go to the other side, that turmoil can come up. Even in their obedience, their peace is shaken. And everything they knew about the situation, and even gifted and skilled men, could not succumb or bring things under control until they turned to the Master, the Prince of Peace. Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's right around verse 14, it says that he is our peace. It was good for me to, in preparing for this, to find out that for me now, peace is a person. My Savior, Jesus. Am I allowing Jesus Christ to rule and reign in every area of my life? I've got peace in my home. I've got peace with my wife. I've got peace with this child, but not this child. Does Christ have full control in your relationship with this child? You have to ask it. So you have to ask yourself that question. Things will disturb our peace. In the moment of this time here on the sea, one of the disturbances or one of the disruptions of the peace of the disciples to go to the other side was the storm. What are other things that disturb our peace? How about confusion? Scripture says that God's not the author of confusion, but he's the God of peace. So if you find yourself in a situation you're totally confused, Christ is there, but have we recognized that he is there ready to change our hearts, to give us peace, to speak to us, to give insight, to give wisdom, to give discernment so that we can walk and go forward amongst the confusion that we found ourselves in. Where'd the confusion come from? Well, we already know who the author of confusion is. It's the enemy. The one who doesn't want us to have peace. The one who doesn't want us to walk in peace. Satan will disrupt your life every opportunity he can. And not just him, but his angels who are with him, the darkness. What's interesting is we can look at the cross of Christ as we sang about this morning. And we can, in our minds, visualize Jesus hanging on the cross amidst the great darkness, against the great turmoil, amidst everything that just breaks our heart that our Savior had to go through for us. And yet there's peace. And he was preparing peace for us as we enter into salvation. When I came to Christ, it was so, when I remember that moment, the peace of God that just came right in and filled my soul. It was changed. And it was immediately the Holy Spirit said, you got to make things right with your mom. So here I had this peace, and yet I had still a little bit of turmoil. I'm thinking, how is this going to happen? You got a mom and you got a son, not been reconciled, haven't been together for almost a year. How's this going to happen? God, you're going to have to do it because I can't do it. God did it. What disrupts our peace? I remember hearing a dear sister in the Lord, this had been a couple months ago, making the comment, I just have to get away and be alone with the Lord and get in the Word, because right now my life is really ugly. I've had an ugly day. You know what she was saying? Is I got to get back to the Word and the person who is going to bring back that peace that this day has disrupted. Scripture says, if we're not in the book, we're not in the Word, and we don't love God's Word, it says that grace, great peace, Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace to they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. God has used that verse many times. Well, I'm offended. God says, okay, what's that tell about you? When's the last time you've been in the Word? Do you love my Word? Lord, I really don't want to be offended. I don't want to stumble over this situation. God, would you give me discernment and understanding, wisdom here? Give me peace. I don't know how this is going to work out. Lord, yes, I don't like this, but I'll love them. I'll receive them. I'll enter into with them. Whatever it might take, Lord. And just humble yourself before the Lord. How about fear? Fear disrupts our peace. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear comes in, it should be recognize a fear of a phobia. I have found now, as an individual, as I got older, I don't like heights. I don't like heights. Why? I don't like to fall. Okay? It takes too long to heal this body, you know? But the more that I have a 24-foot ladder at the house, and I'm up and down and doing all this stuff. I even asked my wife the other day, I said, I wonder how many more years God will allow me to carry this ladder. How many more years I'll have the strength to carry it? I don't know. Not that I like carrying ladders, okay? But I like to do what I can do. And so I'll get the ladder and 20 foot, and there's some branches I gotta trim. There's some things I gotta get out of the trees, or sometimes I gotta get up on top of the roof at the peak. And as I have learned now, you know, as I'm going up, I was putting siding up on the very tip of the peak there earlier in the summer, and as I'm going up the ladder, and I'm saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. You said that you'll give your angels charge over me. You'll keep my feet from slipping. You'll keep my feet from falling. I'm just praying the whole time. You know what? My fear is gone. And there's peace in my soul as I'm looking to the one who is my peace. That's what God wants. Why is there no peace? Are you looking to the one who is your peace? Distraction. I don't like telling on myself. This week, I love my wife. That woman over there loves me to death. She has a computer. I had a computer. It was XP, Windows XP. That's how old it was. Okay, so you got a pretty good idea of the age if you're a computer individual. And I'd get on. We got her a computer maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I don't know the date, but because she does a lot of stuff. My wife loves Ancestry.com. She likes all that kind of stuff. To me, it just and I'm grateful for my wife. I've learned some things about my family because of her digging in all that kind of stuff. But anyway, she has a computer. I don't like to get on a computer. Why? It's slow. It's stuff, it's full, okay? It's not just, it's full. And unfortunately at work, I have to be on a computer and it's fast. You know, work computers are usually fast. And so our computer, and there's nothing wrong with her computer, okay, nothing. But the computer I had was old, and it was slow. And it lock up, and it would do things, weird things that I just hated. And it was given to me. So anyways, this spring, she said, let's get you a new computer. I said, okay. So we go get a computer, and I don't need a lot of computer. I just want a computer for my studying, and I want to be able to type things and write things and all this kind of stuff. And so we get a computer. Get a computer, it's touch screen. I don't need a touch screen. Got a touch screen, you know. So Christmas time, she said, honey, you mind if I use your computer? I said, yeah, that'd be fine. And she said, well, I'm doing all the Christmas ordering online, and she got a lot of good deals and all that kind of stuff, and she's almost done. And so I come home. What night was it? I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday. Come home, I sit down, and I'm starting to go after my notes, and just wanting to get on it. And now this is a distraction. My computer is. So I get on there, and I have things set just the way I like them. So, and I'm going, and it's not working the way my stuff is supposed to work. Distraction. And I'm doing this, and it won't do this. Doing this, it won't do this. And doing this, it won't do this. And I'm thinking, I didn't say a word to her, but she already knows. She can sense it in my spirit. What's going on? My peace has left me. And I didn't say nothing to her. And by this time, I was frustrated. She says, I won't ever use your computer again. And I know none of you ever had this problem. It's only me. So all of a sudden, I realize I have two logins on my computer. She was on a login that's not mine. God just convicted me. He didn't say it this way, but he said, you meathead, you ain't even got a clue. You ain't got a clue. I really believe it was to show me how important that God wants me to walk in peace all the time. That this computer, my wife's more important to me than this computer. It really is. She is so precious to me. Much more important than this computer. And yet at times I make this computer more important than her. That's wrong. I said, honey, and I humbled myself to her. I asked her to forgive me and, you know, just please forgive me, honey. I was wrong. Didn't even recognize. And you know what? I jumped on my logon. I jumped on my logon. Everything was right there. Everything worked perfectly. Everything was the way I like it, the way I have it set up. All my programs, all this and that. God reaffirmed to me the following day as I came home. I said, honey, please, I sure hope that you forgive me. She said, honey, I forgive you. I said, and you can use my computer anytime you want. She said, I don't know if that's going to happen. You see, I allowed that computer to be a distraction of me walking in the peace that I had walked in throughout the whole day. Don't let that happen. Be careful. It'll disrupt your peace. Our pride, greed, lust, one more illustration, we'll close. Chris and I we graduated the same year. We're high school sweethearts. We graduated the same year, so our 40th graduating class reunion is next year. And so we're trying to organize things and everything, and Now, social media has helped complicate things in a sense, is everyone wants a voice. You know, they're in California, they're in Florida, they're in Arkansas, all over the place, and everyone wants to plan this thing. When times passed, it was just a committee, they planned it, and then it turned out great. But now everyone wants to be a part of the committee from a distance, okay? So we thought this one venue was going to work good, and all of a sudden everyone wants this other venue, okay? All right, this complicates things, you know? So we get in contact with this one venue, and the venue's saying, well, we can make $27,000 to $30,000 a night if we have a wedding. Well, sorry, we're only looking at spending about $5,000. And so on the email and talking to this woman on the phone, I'm doing all this legwork. Chris is too. We're both doing it. And I wasn't getting good vibes from this woman. And I got the impression, like, I could really care less if you come to this hotel and this venue and use us, you know, because I can make $27,000 to $30,000, and you're only on. And then they were wanting to hold us accountable for all these kind of stuff, the fees, and I wasn't sensing from the Lord. Still, I'm not sensing from the Lord that I should pay $1,000 or $2,000 out of my own money for this reunion, you know, and ticket prices, all that kind of stuff. So, because of social media and everyone wanting a voice, they still want it here and saying, listen, I don't want to have it here if they're going to want this amount of money, because who's going to pay it? Last reunion, somebody got stiffed for a good chunk of money. It's not right. So I think, okay, God, what do you want me to do? God says, I want you to go meet with this woman. I'm thinking, oh, man, you know. So I did. I called for an appointment, met with this woman, and as I'm 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early before, to this appointment, I'm sitting in the car, and I just said, God, I want your peace. I want you said in Colossians chapter 2, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I want the peace. God, I want your peace to rule in my hearts in this situation. Would you please go before me, prepare the way, and so that your peace will be manifested in this situation, in this conversation. I didn't want to hear $27,000, $30,000, okay? So as I go, done praying, I walk into the situation, we sit down and start talking, and just a delightful individual, and emails are terrible, and phones sometimes can be misrepresented, and so she turns to me, she said, I really want to work with you guys if you want to have the venue, if you want your reunion here. Showed me the room, she said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to hold you to a minimum charge. That removes any $2,000 or whatever. I'm going to remove the bartender charge and whatever you guys choose. Now, we still had a few other fees that had to be paid for, which we'll, you know, get into tickets. But God honored the request of my heart in prayer, and it was a total peaceful situation that occurred. It wasn't because of me. It was because the one who is my peace. In the scripture there in Colossians, when it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that word rule is only used, the Greek word, which is brabouia, uo, used one time in the scriptures right there. One time. It says, let it rule, let it rule. It's a government, it's an authoritative figure word that's used there in that text. So what am I saying? We need to let the peace of God be the one that rules whether a decision should be accomplished or not accomplished. In one writer, William McDonald says that the word rule is like an umpire who calls balls and strikes or calls it safe or out. We need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts in such a way that it is one that's calling strikes or balls or calling it safe or out, peace, out, get out of there. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. So where are you at this morning? Where are you at with this area of peace? Are you allowing the peace of God to rule and reign in every area of your heart? Are you allowing that to happen? Are you, in essence, what I'm saying is, are you allowing Jesus Christ to rule and reign in every area of your life? Because He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It's the Spirit of Peace that lives within us. And see, we don't always necessarily come to peace. We start with peace because He lives in us. We start there. You say, well, my flesh, you're right. Your soul and your flesh has got to get lined up with what is true, with the scriptures, with the word of God, with the spirit of God that lives in you. We start there. And then our life needs to be an example of that peace of God in us. If you're not there, I encourage you to repent. Turn to the Lord. Ask Him for grace. Confess your sin. Lord, I am in turmoil. Please forgive me. God, I want You to rule and reign in every area of my life. I am sorry, Lord. I've been wrong that I've been the ruler of my life. And You want peace to rule and reign here. Let's bow. Lord, so much more can be said in this area of peace. And we're so grateful for the declaration that the Prince of Peace came and gave His life so that we could have peace. Lord, we just thank You so much for the fruit of the Spirit that is peace. And Lord, we ask for wisdom and grace to be able to walk in that way in the days ahead. Lord, we can't do it. We can't conjure it up in our own flesh. We need You to do that. And so, Lord, we confess our desperate need for You. Please, O Lord, we pray that You would manifest Yourself in our lives. I pray that You'd reveal to us areas that we are not walking in peace in. Lord, we love You. Thank You. Thank You that You are the author of peace. You are the peace, the one who gives peace. We pray that the peace of God would rule and reign in every area of our lives. This we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.